It's time for the Monday Waffle, a podcast dedicated to all things West Australian Football League. Your hosts Michael Stamp and Jack Davidson are joined by Tara Carlin, Bonnie Rayner, Chaddy De Heer with expert boundary writing information, analysis of last week's game, forecast of next week's game. Did you get your tips in? Did you get your tips out? What are you planning to do next weekend? If it involves West Australian footy, just make sure you start your week with the Monday Waffle.
Three of the top four sides recorded wins, but they had to work hard for their win into the last quarter because of wet and muddy conditions. Hello, I'm Michael Stamp. Thanks for tuning in to this week's edition of the Monday Waffle as I welcome Katie De Heer and Jack Davidson.
Katie, Stampy, how are you guys?
Well, thank you, Jack.
All the games were up for grabs in the fourth quarter, guys.
They were. Subiaco only just getting over the line and Swans as well.
That's right. And Claremont is only going up, but I think it's too late for them because they're definitely not going to make the top four.
Yep. Three games behind East Fremantle now, but
yes, you
know, finishing the season really, really well.
That's right. Speaking of which, East Rio definitely cemented it in fourth place and Perth are now on par with Peel with points, but Perth are up on percentage.
Yeah. And I think I've overtaken you in the tipping, Jack. Touchy subject. So East Perth and Subi, they face off this weekend for that would decide top spot after this round. East Perth is still one game in front of Subi, but and then the Swan Districts are third, equal with Subi. As Jack said, East Fremantle fourth, but then Claremont have moved into fifth, which is really good for them.
And yeah, they've taken over the Falcons, which is a great surprise.
Yeah, they are just going from bad to worse, aren't they?
The Falcons?
Yeah. I mean, their performance in the Foxtel Cup kicking two goals, Katie, was it?
No, one goal in the Foxtel Cup, and then they kicked two on the weekend.
Although, on the weekend, horrible, horrible weather. That game against the Royals was just not a good game to begin with anyway.
Medibank Stadium was a swamp.
Yeah, well, we were speaking during the games, Katie, and I was showing you photos of Claremont's ground, and it was just deplorable. And then East Perth looked even worse.
Yeah, it wasn't too much chop. And, of course, the reserves and Colts matches were earlier. The reserves game had a lot of rain, particularly in the first quarter. And, yeah, it just really chopped it up. And players were slipping and sliding into buggery.
Just before we get into the reviewing the round, what do you guys think about a top five instead of a top four for next season? The CEOs of each club are voting on it this week, mirroring the Sandful in South Australia with the top five. What are you guys' thoughts on a potential top five next season?
Well, we're a 19 competition, so a sample. You just got to weigh up the benefits and the cons, really. I mean, you've read the article, Stampy. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think it would make sense because the fifth sided, for example, if we're talking about this season, Claremont, they would actually prove a real force in the finals this season.
They've had a strong late run, yeah.
Yeah, so say if you put Claremont in the top five, I think it'd make it really, really interesting and some good competition in the finals. A few years ago, they voted on it for top five that season, but it didn't go through. It was a 5-4 in favour of not going with the change. But now this season, apparently, East Fremantle, Subi, South Fremantle, East Perth and Peel are for it, Katie.
Mm. It's interesting that a lot of the top teams are now for it as well.
So
I think you're right. I think it would make it interesting, particularly Claremont. Their, fantastic late run of form. It'd be good to see.
So the format would be the first place would get the week off, and then the second versus fifth, and third versus fourth. So I like it.
Could be an interesting dynamic towards the end of the finals.
Exactly.
It's Monday, so it's the Monday Waffle. Keep listening.
Claremont continued its strong form in the second half of the season, defeating East Fremantle at the Showground 7-10-52 to 4-11-35. This is the lowest combined score in all games between Claremont and East Frio. The past one was 96 in 1942, Jack.
Stampy, Katie, you guys called it. Claremont beat East Frio. I'm so devastated, but it looks like the shells were culled for this one.
You are on fire, Jack. You are on fire. Katie, lead us through some leading possession winners for the day.
Yeah, we've got Tom Ledger, 38 touches. Luke Blackwell, 37. I'm pretty sure he got 37 last week.
Yeah, Blackpool. Is he a chance for the Sandover?
Yeah, we called it a few weeks back. You said, yeah.
Well, since round 10, Claremont are averaging 38 more points per game.
And it helps that he's in a winning team as well.
Exactly. So I think their second half of the season, he's really going to go well in the voting, I think. Brendan Abbott, we spoke about it before, he's going to be a star. He's going to be in the AFL next season. He could have gone last year, but had to sort out a few things. This season, he's just so smooth, and he's kicking lots of goals
Yeah, he kicked a couple in this one.
And in wet conditions, he's just so clean with the ball. So, look, Claremont have done well. They should just enjoy the time they have with him left.
Well, so, funny you say that, because Claremont have now beaten three of the top four teams and have won four of their last five games and five out of their last eight.
Yeah. Playing really well, 5-2 at the Showgrounds this year.
Yeah.
East Fremantle were just really undisciplined throughout the game. They gave away a few 50 metres at the start of the game. And then at the end, Stephen Dodd just had a shocker of a second half. Like, really good player for Fremantle Dockers, and he's been really good for East Fremantle at fullback this season. He was on Brendan Abbott, but he just decked Jack Bradshaw in the fourth quarter, 10 metres out from goal, just gift them a goal.
It's not great footy, but where the Sharks are coming from, they've lost two of their last three games. They're somehow still safe in the four, which is lucky for them. But they could only manage one goal for the first three quarters. I mean, what's going on?
Yeah,
it's wet, I get, but you know, you've still got a quality of football.
Yeah,
if you're in the top four, that is, sorry.
Yeah, and it was a good day for the smaller men. Rory O'Brien, 37 touches. And Brad Dalziel as well, 30.
And O'Brien was up against Blackwell, one of the better matchups in the midfield. So, yeah, the Sharks have the Bulldogs this week in the Derby, so they need to get back with a win.
You're listening to the Monday Waffle.
Perth's horror season continued on the weekend against Swan Districts, going down by 6 points, 11 goals, 11, 77, to 10 goals, 11, 71. They were up by 31 points at three-quarter time, guys.
Yeah, Perth were in control for the first three quarters, which is it's a bit heartbreaking for Perth coming to terms with what happened in the fourth. You know, Swans kicked 6-1, which is what they did against South Freo a couple of rounds ago.
Yeah, and it's their biggest three-quarter time deficit to overcome against Perth. Their previous was 23 points in 2000. So Swans, I think they need to step up in those first three quarters and save themselves a big fourth quarter and, like, they nearly lost again.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this means that Perth has lost 10 straight matches. Like you said, it's been a horror season for Perth. They're also missing some key players, such as Mitch Morton, which affects your Morton watch, Katie.
Yeah.
Paul Bevan, Nick Kane, to name a few.
Yeah, Paul Bevan and Kane were out suspended. It's just, the season just doesn't goes from bad to worse for the Demons. Chance Bateman was really good with 3 goals and Mark Deaves 2. Katie, a few possession winners?
Yeah, for Swan Districts, this one, Graham Jetta, I'm pretty sure it was his 100th game. Last week, was it? 28 possessions. Alari, 24, and Ugal, 22. For Perth, Tropiano, 24 disposals. Kieran Hugg, 23, and Matt Hunt, 22.
Yeah, and I guess the win for Swans just keeps them in pace with Subiaco for second, isn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely, because it could be a tight contention come the end of the year when they next play off.
Well, their percentage isn't as good as Subi. Subi have the 130 and Swans have 115. So Swans will be hoping Subi lose to East Perth on the weekend so Swans can jump in front of them.
Yeah, that 2-3 position has been tightly held for the last couple of weeks. It'll be really interesting to come up after the derbies.
Yeah, we'll talk about it later with the tips for round 19, but That's the big part of round 19 is the East Perth and Subi matchup.
Hi, this is Basil Zemplis. Mondays, can't wait for Mondays to come around because you know what that means. Online, there it is, my brand new edition of the Monday Waffle.
While Perth recorded its 10th straight loss, it was East Perth who got their 10th straight win, defeating West Perth 5-9, 39 to 2-6, 18. The Falcons following up their 1-2 on Tuesday night at the Foxtel Cup. What the hell is going on with the Falcons?
Yeah, I don't know, mate. Royals ended up beating them by 21 points. You know, it was a low-scoring game. You know, as you said, Falcons came off Foxtel Cup. You know, they've already been tired from the week, mentally tired, you know, off that loss. And then the rain turns it into a low-scoring game, as it was already.
Well, Katie, you were there. It was like a swamp, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a bit. And then when in the first quarter, Marcus Adams went into Craig Wolf. They slid through the mud, and I tell you, the East Perth players weren't happy. But it was good to see a bit of
desperation in the wet. It's West Perth's lowest score since round 4, 1919, guys.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah, it's not a stat that like people bring up, but you know. Katie, Brendan Lee was really good for East Perth, wasn't he?
Yeah, he did. He racked up 27 disposals. Stevie Payne as well, 32. Craig Wolf added again, 28.
Callum Sinclair and Paul Johnson were really good in the ruck, and I'm guessing it was a lot of clearances and lots of stoppages in this game.
They were. I think Paul Johnson got 40 hit-outs.
40 hit-outs, and Callum Sinclair, 35 hit-outs. 35,
yeah. And, yeah, both fantastic again. For West Perth, Rowan Kerr and Ray Bartholomew, they kicked their only two goals for the afternoon. Aaron Black got 22 disposals and Shane Nelson, 22.
In a loss for West Perth, Cody Manning's gone for the season. So are they putting the Q in the rack?
Yes. Yes, they are.
Yeah, definitely. Jordan Jones, congrats to him, played 100 games. And there's another Van Berlo on the scene, Mitch Van Berlo joining Jay Van Berlo.
Are we going to have to get another watch out? We've got O'Brien watch. We've got Morton watch. Are we going to have to get Van Berlo watch out now?
Yeah, I think so. Let's go with that, Jack.
It's the Monday Waffle.
Subi have moved into second on the ladder, winning their 6th out of their last 7 games, but they had to come from behind, defeating South Fremantle 13 goals 15, 93 to 12 goals 12, 84. A tough afternoon, Jack.
Yeah, that's right. South Fremantle were leading the game all game up until three-quarter time. You know, going into the fourth, they were 11 points up. But, you know, Subi were too much, going 5 goals to 2, winning by 9 in the end. But this also means... this also means that Subi are a strong contender for the minor premiership at the end of the season, meaning that they'll need to stay in second place.
And a few standouts for Subi Echo. Andrew McDougall, we'll be chatting to him a little bit later. He kicked 2 goals, 21 possessions and 31 hit-outs, so he had a...
what a week to get the big man.
A pretty good day. Matt Boland and Reece Waters as well kicked 2 goals. Kyle Horsley, 29 touches, and Jason Bristow, 22, and Hampson as well, 22.
Matty Boland moves 4 goals clear in the Bernie Naylor medal as well. A bit of a surprising one for that, but had a good season so far. Kyle Horsley's been terrific as well. We spoke about Blackwell with the Sandover. Horsley has to be up there as well, doesn't he?
Yeah, a very good chance, I think, this year.
Wade Toomey had 19 touches. He was really good, and George Hampson continuing his good season with 22 possessions. Couple of injuries for South Fremantle. Ashton Hams came back from an injury on the weekend, but he was injured at three-quarter time as well as full forward Ben Saunders after kicking 2 goals in the game. So 2 big losses for South Fremantle going into the derby against East Fremantle.
It's going to be a very tough couple of weeks, especially without those two key players. What are our thoughts for the derby next week?
I don't want to give too much away, but it's a must-win for East Fremantle. Mm. They need to get back on the winners' list. Both teams are just not playing well at all. And the Bulldogs, their losing streak at Freo Oval is up to 4 games. So much for a home ground advantage.
Just a few before we finish this one. Possession getters for South Fremantle, Jared Parry, 32 touches. Brock Higgins, a former East Perth, 24 touches, 29 hit-outs. He had a good game.
It's the
Monday
Waffle!
We're joined now by Subiaco big man and former West Coast Eagles player Andrew McDougall. Thanks for joining us, Andrew. Was it good to be back on the weekend and playing in a winning side?
Yeah, no, definitely. We've got a lot of good players down at Subi, so and some strong leaders down there at the moment as well with Kyle Horsley and Bristow and Rumba. So we've got a pretty good group.
And how did you find the conditions on Saturday? I know it was pretty wet at Medibank Stadium where I was.
Yeah. Down in South Perth, the ground was pretty muddy through the middle, and South played really well, so they really pushed us all the way, and we were lucky to hold off in the last quarter and come back.
And two goals for yourself, 21 touches and 31 hit-outs. Probably, I know you've only played 5 senior games this season. How are you feeling about your form the past few weeks?
I'm just trying to contribute as much as I can and really put in a big effort for the club and for the boys when I'm out there and rotate forward. We do have a lot of good players and a lot of depth,
So it's important that I give my best when I'm out there and also contribute to the team, because we really want to be sitting in that top two come finals time.
So you're up against East Perth this week, who are looking for their 11th consecutive win. Will that be a tough game for you boys?
Yeah, definitely. They're top of the ladder and got a lot of West Coast listed boys, obviously, so it'll be a big challenge. We'll have to put a bit of time into them this week and get all the vision done and make sure we know where they sit and the boys in and out as well. So, no, we're looking forward to it.
And how did you feel sort of your role, I guess, has changed a bit with Frank Stockley was out on the weekend and I think was Delahunty out as well. You were rucking, obviously, a bit more. How did you find that?
No, I enjoyed it. I played quite a lot of last year in the ruck. So this year, obviously, having the two other boys coming into the side, it's given us a lot of diversity and those boys can play forward as well. So sort of most players in our team now can play two or three roles, and that's the way footy's going, the AFL and also the Waffle.
Fantastic. Well, all the best for this weekend, Andrew. Thank you for chatting to us.
No worries. Thank you.
Hi, this is Basil Zemplis. Mondays, can't wait for Mondays to come around, because you know what that means. Online, there it is, my brand new edition of the Monday Waffle.
Bonnie Rayner joins us now with tipping and looking forward to round 19. Hello, Bonnie.
Hello, it's great to be joining you guys. It's time to get our tips out. And round 18, Michael, congratulations. You got 4 out of 4.
Yeah, thank you, Bones. I'm very happy with that.
Is this the first time this season that someone's got 4 out of 4?
No, it's not actually. It's the second time. I don't know who I
am. But I'm pretty glad I'm the only one to get it for the round.
Yes.
Yes, because in AFL, how many did you get, Stampy?
Let's not talk about it. That's waffle. The Monday waffle. Not the Monday
he got AFL. Zeros. That's why we're focusing on his waffle tips today. So, round 19, all games are on Saturday afternoon. First game of the round, East Perth versus Subi at Medibank.
First versus second. This is match of the round by far. In round 5, the only time they met this season, Subi won by 20 points in front of a big crowd as well, Katie.
Yeah, that was the Good Friday match.
Certainly
so
was.
I think there was about 4,000 people there.
Yeah.
Hopefully the ground can dry up a little bit and conditions are, I think, expected to be sunny this weekend. So I'm hoping this time.
Yeah, and East Perth are going for 11 straight and Subi need to win as well. I really don't know how to cast my vote.
Yeah, cool and buttered, Jack. They're on a roll. East Perth, 11, going for 11 this week. Brendan Lee wasn't playing in that game, but George Hampson, best on ground, kicked 5 goals and 24 touches. I'm going with Subiaco.
I'm going to put all my eggs in the Royals basket.
Ooh, he's going against me again.
Yeah.
And Katie, are East Perth going to get their 11th win, or are Subi looking for their 7th out of the last 8 games?
I bloody hope so, but I'm tipping East Perth.
That's got to be a first. And I'll go with East Perth as well.
Oh, so Stampy is the only one different sitting on Subi with the rest of us sitting on East Perth.
On the leaderboard, if I could just point out, Stampy is 1 point clear of Jack. Jack, you're in second place and you are 1 point clear of me. So this game, Michael going with Subi, that could be a game changer. That could turn the tables.
Could put me 2 in front.
My theory is if Stampy gets 2 up in front of me, I will not be able to catch him. I've led strong all season and he's slowly been closing the gap. But who knows now? There's only a handful of rounds left. There's not a lot of room to wiggle. You took a chance last week on Claremont, and it paid off for you. Let's see if Subi can do it this week.
And Kate is still on the bottom on 36, but you win some, you lose some.
I was close, though. We've got to admit there that, you know, Subi almost didn't get on. Sorry for changing the subject.
The second game of the round, Perth versus Peel at Lathlane Park. It's 8 versus 9 on the ladder. That's not going to be the same quality as first versus second, but maybe a good game.
I wouldn't say that because Peel are very, very competitive and Perth really need to prove something this week. I need Peel to win so that Perth can, so they can get their, my wooden spoon tip right.
See, I'm the opposite. I need Perth to win so I can get my wooden spoon prediction of Peel right.
Well, I'm throwing my cast to Peel to win.
Me too.
Tipping Peel as well.
I don't know about this, but I'm going Peel just to be safe. That's, I don't want to go.
That's strategic.
Yeah, I'm very strategic with Peel.
That hasn't always worked for me. Just a heads up, Stampy.
Show's that just a second.
East Frio and South Frio at Shark Park. East Perth.
Am I?
I was watching before it was all low. Whoops, sorry, I'll do it again. Alright, and now the Derby, East Frio and South Frio at Shark Park. Who's your tip, guys?
This is a tough one. Stampy, Katie?
I'm tipping Souths. They were my roughie last week, they're my roughie this week.
Now, Souths have only won, they've only won one game out of the last eight.
Nah, East Fremantle
doesn't change
for me.
My decision. Yeah.
South Fremantle are playing extremely poor. East Fremantle need to get back on the winners list. They'll get the win here.
Yeah, I'm putting up for Sharks as usual.
So am I. And the last game of the round, West Perth and Swans at Arena Joondalup.
Yeah, Swans in a pretty comfortable victory here. West Perth, 3 goals in 2 games. You can't bounce back from that.
Yeah, I think both teams have an opportunity to fly high, but who knows? You know, Swans could have another foul 3 quarters and kick up at the, in the fourth.
Did anybody notice that? Yes. Fly and fouls.
Anyway, yeah, so I'm choosing the old black and whites.
And remember, Swans beat them earlier in the year at Arena Joondalup, so they've got good history there. Swans will win, Katie.
I tipped a draw last time, and I'm going to tip a draw again because I think
because it worked so well for you last time.
I think that West Perth, they won't be feeling good about, you know, their past few performances, but I think that Swans won't let them get away with it. So I'm tipping a draw. I just think it'd be nice to have a draw.
Right, so we've got a nice variety in the tipping, so we'll have a lot to chat about next Monday. We'll see if Stampy's increased his lead and if Katie is, you know, falling away at the bottom still.
Thanks for tuning in today for round 18 of the Monday Waffle. Thank you to Jack, Katie and Bonnie.
Thank you, Stampy.
Thanks, guys.
And as we said, big game coming up, East Perth and Subi, match of the round. And thanks to Andrew McDougall for joining us today.
And keep kicking goals!